seated. Praise the Lord. Well, look at this. It's great to have a full church on July 4th weekend. Praise the Lord. Is everyone glad to be in the house of the Lord here today? Amen. Well, it's just so good to see you again. We welcome those that are visiting. We're just so honored to have you. We're glad that nobody melted during the heat wave this week. Boy, I'll tell you what. Now, let's be honest here. Who really loves that kind of hot and humid weather? Is there anyone that just genuinely loves it? All right, we got a few folks. How many prefer it a little cooler than that? Oh, yeah, that's me. I'd take 65 degrees and sunny all day, every day. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, kids, are you ready? Let's go ahead and dismiss our kids for the children's ministry. Let's encourage them as they come. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's so wonderful. Yeah, they're still coming, everybody. And they're going out the back, coming out the front. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it awesome to see all these kids just in the right place, you know, being taught the Word of God? Amen. It's good that our kids get to be in praise and worship. You know, if your kids were with you today during the music, I mean, it's good. Be an example. Show them how to praise. You know, they're going to learn by watching you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Well, turn with me. Go over to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to start there in verse 23. And today I'm going to call this message, Stand Up, Stand Out, Be Different, and Be Unique. Praise the Lord. Glory. You could just add, you know, if you're taking notes, you can just pick whatever part of that title you want, because it's all referring to the same thing. Be different. Stand up, be a standout in this generation. I'll tell you what, there better be something different about us than the rest of the world. Christians are looking too much like the world these days. Let's make sure that we're walking with God and people can see the difference. Jesus said this, he said, let your light shine before men. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the city on top of the hill. You are the salt of the earth. But Jesus said, but if the salt has lost its flavor, it is then good for nothing. See, if we're not careful, we'll lose our flavor, so to speak. You know, we'll get diluted down and we'll just look and act just like the rest of the world. There's got to be something different about us. Go to Acts chapter 4. We're going to start there in verse 23. And I've been in this passage of scripture quite a bit lately, and we're going to get back to it again. Last week, I taught a message about getting to the roadmap of God's highest and best. I don't know about you, but I want to be walking in the highest and best that God has. Now, when we say that, so many times people, they immediately go to, oh, God's highest and best is me having everything I want. Or God's highest and best is just, you know, the easy life or the most convenient life. Well, listen, God's highest and best is you being right in the middle of God's plan for your life. The goal isn't to find the easiest life. I'm not trying to forge a path to the easy way. I'm trying to forge a heart that is faithful and sold out and willing to stand in the fire no matter what we're going through or facing. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's where we started. And last week we said the first step of getting to God's highest and best is to live the crucified life. And we said it this way, all that we are, all that we have, and all that we can do should be employed for the uses of God. Everything you are, everything you have, everything you can do, your physical abilities, your talents, your time, your efforts, your finances, everything you are, spirit, soul, and body, should be employed to the uses of God. And let's face it, you know, so many times we just don't make ourselves available to God. You know, I don't know about you, I want to be available to God. Are you here? Now, we're making ourselves available for a lot of other things in this life, but we better make ourselves available to Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so that's just kind of where we started. And over the weeks to come, I believe the Lord is leading us to share the roadmap, you know, of specifically the traits and the things and the actions that we can take to walk in His highest and best. And today, we're going to see an individual that took a massive step. He got into God's highest and best, was used mightily in the Word of God. And there's some things that the Bible tells us about this man that we can emulate, things that we can do. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 4, and we're going to start there in verse 23. You remember John and Peter were just told by the Pharisees, when we pick up this story, they were told by the Pharisees that they could not preach in the name of Jesus. They were beaten. They were jailed. They were threatened. Remember? And it wasn't just a threatening against John and Peter specifically. It was a threat for all Christians who would preach in the name of Jesus. Those Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, they were the religious establishment of the day. They were the ones that were supposed to know more about God than everybody else, right? And we saw that they're the ones that beat and jailed Peter and John, and they threatened all the church. And they said, anyone that preaches or speaks in the name of Jesus will be thrown in jail. Their family would be divided. Their livelihood would be gone. You know, some were even killed, you know, for their faith, and they were threatened dearly. And then John and Peter were then released, and they went back to the church. They went back to their own company, and they reported everything that they were told. And that's where we pick it up in Acts 4:23. Are you ready? We're going to read down through several verses and then go back. Eventually, our goal is to get through the rest of this chapter, and we're going to focus on an individual here in just a few minutes. Look at verse 23. It says, and John and Peter, being let go after being beaten and jailed and thrown in jail overnight for preaching in the name of Jesus, not just preaching in the name of Jesus, but remember what happened? There was a man who was healed at the gate called Beautiful. Remember in the previous chapter and the verses leading up to that, Peter grabbed this crippled man and said, gold and silver have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, stand up on your feet and walk. And they saw a notable miracle that was done. This man who had never walked before in his life in the name of Jesus was healed. And they got mad at that. They got disgruntled at that, and they were concerned because they were worried about losing their own personal power and authority. Boy, I tell you what, when we start making decisions just to protect our notoriety, our stuff, you know, when we just start trying to defend our reputation and all that stuff, you are walking down the wrong road. Whenever you start to use ministry, whenever you start to use the things of the Lord to try to bolster yourself, all right, all of a sudden you start prophesying your own ideas. All of a sudden you start preaching what you think, you know, just meaning, you know, do things your way or no other way. That's when bad things happen. And we see right here with John and Peter, you know, they got out and they ran back to their own company and reported the threats of the Pharisees. Folks, we're not living under the same threat here today, you know, as much as they were then. But Satan has become more subtle over the last 2,000 years. And you might not spiritually realize this. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But the church is under attack right now. And I'm not talking about just this congregation. I'm talking about the body of Christ. And you might not even realize the attacks on your life, you know, that are trying to draw you away from the God-filled life. You know, it's actually satanic in origin, and we will talk about that. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've decided to be faithful to the word. Amen. In verse 23, it says, and being let go, John and Peter went back to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They threatened them, face, you know, jail time, all that stuff. And when they had heard that, when the church heard what John and Peter had to say, the entire church lifted up their voice to God with one accord. I'll tell you what, that should be happening every service when we get together. Folks, when I'm up here exhorting everyone to lift hands, when I'm exhorting everybody to lift their voice, I'm not doing that so that we just fulfill some charismatic role. I'm not trying to get you to subscribe to some segment of Christianity. I'm not trying to make you part of a sect. You know what I mean? But I want you to imitate what the early church did in the Word of God that brought the power of God into their life. They all lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and they said, Lord, you are God. You have made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Remember several weeks ago, we told you, tell God how big he is. Tell God who he is. That's how the early church prayed. They just started exalting him. Notice they didn't come before God and they didn't say, Lord, look at how bad our troubles are. Look at how tough life is. Are you here today? You know, they didn't come before God and just complain about their problems and act desperate. They came before God, even though they were facing the loss of their livelihood, the loss of their lives and their freedom and all the things that they had. They came, when they talked to God, they talked about God. Talk about God to God. Amen. And then, of course, they go on to say in verse 25, they're all praying. They said, who by the mouth of your servant David you have said, Lord, why did the heathen rage? And why did the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, meaning this really happened, against your holy son Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod amongst the Jews and Pontius Pilate amongst the Romans, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined ahead of time to be done. Talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. See, Satan thought that he had inspired these governments and these men to kill the Messiah. Satan doesn't know everything. Satan did not know that the death of Jesus Christ would be his ultimate undoing. See, Satan, that's exactly what he does. He always inspires people to go in a direction that's their own destruction. You know, and he himself, he ordered up, he wanted Jesus to be nailed to that cross, but when that blood was shed, it was his own defeat. Amen. So what the devil meant for evil, God will make it good. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, this is talking about the crucifixion. Now in verse 25, it says to do whatsoever his God's counsel has determined to be done. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Actually, down there in verse 28. Can you go down to verse 28, please? And then we'll drop down to verse 29. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant to your servants that you would protect all our money. Lord, preserve our jobs. Lord, keep us happy and just keep us. Oh, wait, am I misreading this? And now, Lord, look at the threatenings on our life. Lord, look at, they're threatening to jail us and take everything away. Folks, I'm here to tell you, none of us have gone through this. None of us have faced this level. And they said, and now, Lord, here's our request. This is what we want in the midst of our toughest time on this earth. Grant to us, your servants, that with all boldness we would speak your word. They knew money wasn't their answer. They knew just natural protection was not their answer. Their emotions were not their answer. Their happiness wasn't their answer. Boy, are you here today? We're not still running a little slow due to all the hot dogs yesterday or something. Amen. Praise the Lord. They said, Lord, those things are not our answer. What is your answer is that the word of God would get on the inside of us. And Lord, it would change the way we talk. It would change the way we speak. They said, we know what our answer is. And that is spirit-filled word proceeding out of our mouth. Lord, what we need in the toughest time of our life, we need to be talking right. We need to be speaking right. What we need in the midst of our greatest threat is the word of God flowing out of our being. Not just hoping for more money, not just hoping for more protection, not just wanting, you know, something to get easier in our life. Father, what we want more than anything, Lord, we want the word. We want it boldly in our spirit, proceeding out of our mouth. Are you here today? And notice they're not done. Look at verse 30. It says, by stretching forth your hand to heal. Notice they're not even talking about healing for themselves. They're saying, Lord, use us that we will be your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy son, Jesus Christ. They said, Lord, we want healings happening all around us to glorify the name of Jesus. See, this is how you pray. Notice, They weren't asking for, you know, superficial things. They were asking for supernatural things. They weren't looking for the cheap and the shallow. They were looking for things with eternal value. Amen. Glory to God. And look at verse 31. Look at verse 31. And after they had prayed, whose prayers were these, everybody? Their prayers. Oh, we're going to talk about that. We're going to camp out on this verse for a second. When they had prayed that, nobody gave them that prayer. That was what was in their heart. They prayed, and then the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And by the way, there were thousands of people there. Thousands of people, literally at least a couple thousand people. And they, all the Christians, were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they, Christians, started to speak the word of God with boldness. Notice it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But wait a minute, these are the same believers that were filled with the Holy Ghost back in Acts chapter 2 with the initial baptism of the Spirit. How come they were filled and now they're being filled again? Because that's the pattern of the Spirit-filled life. It's not just a one-time, you know, initial filling of the Spirit. The Bible says that we must be filled and refilled and refilled and refilled. You cannot live off that initial filling forever. You've got to get filled. You got to stay filled. Amen. That's the answer. Notice this, though. Look at what's going on here, all right? There's so much going on here. We're going to start breaking this down in verse 31, and then we're going to proceed. Notice, first of all, it says, when they had prayed. Now, notice when they all got together, they all prayed what together? They all prayed in one accord together. They all desired the same things. And, of course, the Holy Spirit shook that place because God was pleased with that prayer. But notice this was their prayers. Notice the Holy Ghost met their desires. Okay, and what I mean by that, not desires for superficial, cheap things, but notice that God rewarded and answered the prayer of their own heart in their own language. Notice when they were gathered together, notice they didn't just all get together and just pray in tongues together. They prayed in one accord in their known language, as the Scripture teaches us to do. All right? The Scripture teaches us to do that when we publicly gather. And they prayed in such a way with their own understanding that shook the place. Listen, folks, I'll tell you what. I'm a believer. I am a tongue-talking Christian. I believe if you study the Scriptures, it is so clear that God has given us that wonderful opportunity to speak in heavenly languages. But if we're not careful, we'll just think that that heavenly language replaces our need to pray in our own language with our own heart and our own desire. Folks, notice, I'll tell you what, they did not pray for 1 second in tongues and the Holy Ghost shook that place. Your prayers, when it comes from your heart and it matches the desires of the Spirit of God, can shake and change lives, and it can change the whole place. Because here's what we forget. God didn't tell them to pray this. They prayed it on their own. God wants us to do and pray things from our own heart, even though he knows what we're going to say, even though he knows what we could say. He wants to hear, hey, what do you desire? What do you want to happen in your region? What do you want to happen in your life? You know, what do you want to happen in the community around you? Yeah. Amen. They said, Lord, what we want to speak your word boldly. We want to stretch forth your hand to heal, that Jesus Christ would be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. And the Holy Ghost said, I love that desire. Amen. Are you here today? Several weeks ago, we preached a message called Prayers That Move God. This was one of the examples we used. This prayer moved God. There was not one moment of speaking in tongues. There was not one, you know, superficial thing going on. It was just their heart being poured out. God wants to hear your desires. And some Christians, if we're not careful, will just say, well, I'll just let the Holy Spirit just pray out of me, and then the only thing I'll do is pray in tongues. Well, that's the other side of it. But we've got to give God our heart and our desires. Some things we should do for God just because we love Him. Just because we love Him. Some people say, well, I didn't give to God. God didn't tell me to give to that. God didn't tell me to serve in that capacity at my church. Well, listen, some things we give should be our idea. God wanted to hear, what are your ideas? What do you want the power of God to do in your community? God's got to hear our heart. And folks, listen, you know, I believe in the Pentecostal experience. You know, I get labeled, you know, a Pentecostal preacher. And then, you know, for some people, I'm too crazy. Some people, I'm not crazy enough. Well, I don't know. That to me, that just sounds like I'm right down the middle. I'm trying to just rightfully divide the word. But listen, I believe in the Pentecostal experience, but so many times we see that people are trying to take the Pentecostal experience and replace it with what we just simply should have a heart desire for. Listen, I'm telling you, if the only things you do is pray in tongues and God never hears your heart's desire, I'll tell you what, the power of God, you know, is going to abandon you. You know, God's going to have to hear your heart. If the only thing you ever do for God is something He told you to do, how many parents do we got here today? How many of you, it just blesses you when your kids come up with the right heart and start doing things just because they love you? How many of you know what I'm talking about? When they do that, you didn't have to force them to clean their room. You didn't force them to do some chores or something like that. They all of a sudden just started, you know, just doing that. And I'll tell you what, when that happens, it just moves your heart, doesn't it? How much should our Father be blessed by things we just choose to do? I choose to serve in my church because I love Him. I'm not waiting for a voice from heaven to tell me I have to do that. You know, I give offerings as I purpose in my own heart. Amen. Not because I'm trying to wait for a voice from heaven, but because I just want to show God that I love Him. Are you here? Praise the Lord. And so we see that when they had prayed, notice the Holy Ghost didn't just, you know, put that and just, you know, speak that out there for them. They prayed that. They prayed that. They prayed with the right heart, and it shook that place where they were assembled together. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Look at a couple things here. There's some answers here for us. Are you ready? Before we get to this special individual, I want you to see this. Remember what they were asking for? They said, we want to speak your word boldly, and we want that signs and wonders. We want to stretch forth your hand to heal. We want to see healings all around us. Lord, that's what we want to see, to glorify Jesus, not to glorify ourselves, right? Amen. And so when they wanted healings to happen in their life, what did the Holy Spirit do in response to that desire to make it happen? He filled them. He filled them. Think about this. And remember, you know what happened in the rest of this this chapter, and then in chapter 5? Did Acts chapter 5, was there healings that took place around them? Yes, so much so that people were getting healed in Peter's shadow. How many remember that? Just after they prayed this, they went out, there was revival in the streets, and people were getting healed and blessed. Why? Because they desired it. But notice what the Spirit of God did. They said, Lord, we want healings. And so the Spirit of God said, okay, I will fill you. Notice He didn't just send health. He said, oh, you want healings to happen? I will fill you. See, a lot of people, they say, well, no. I'm not talking about all that. Lord, I want healing. And the Lord said, I know, so get filled. Notice that the healing was in the filling. You know, notice He didn't just say, you know, so often when we want healings, whether in our life or for someone around them, what do? We start praying for the health. We want health to happen. But God said, hey, if you want the health, if you want those things to happen, get filled. Because healing is an extension of the filling. And he is telling them, in the midst of your greatest threat, in the midst of your greatest challenge, the goal isn't just to harness healing or to harness the money you need or to harness all the stuff. He said the goal in the midst of your greatest threat is to get filled and stay filled. Boy, that really makes Christians excited. Say, well, Lord, I just want the healing. Well, I'm here to tell you, it's in the filling. When God is strong on the inside of you, there's only one way to face a very difficult world, and that's filled. There's only one way to handle or to face a difficult physical illness, and that's being filled. There's only one way to handle a financial crisis, and that's to be filled with God. There's only one way to handle depression and anxiety. Get filled. There's only one way to handle loneliness. Be filled. Remember that? I've got some verses here. We've got somebody up there ready to go. Bring up some verses for me. Can you bring up, let's see, where is that verse? Proverbs 18:14. How many of you, we can just bring it right up on the screen and so we can take a look at it. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18:14. Notice it says this, the spirit of a man, meaning your spirit within you. Of course, that's the part of you that communicates with God and that God deals with. The spirit of man, or we could say it this way, whatever is in your spirit will sustain him in his infirmity. All right, that word infirmity, it can mean sickness. And in this point, it actually does. It's talking and referring to sickness or disease. That word infirmity, it can mean weakness or lack. All right, the scripture is saying whatever is in your spirit, that's what's going to help your physical body. That's what's going to deal with that lack that you're facing. Your trial that you are facing in this life is just putting a test or a withdrawal on whatever is in your spirit. Can we bring this up in the Amplified? I think it'll help us a little bit to see this in the Amplified. It says, but a wounded spirit, who can bear that? Meaning literally people can't survive because their spirit is weak or wounded. Are you here? Praise the Lord. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain. Wow. How many of you know there's only one way that your spirit can get strong? By the word of God and by the Holy Ghost. You can say it this way. The more God dwells or the more God fills your spirit, it'll sustain you when your body is under attack. It'll sustain you in bodily pain or trouble. Whatever's in your spirit is what is pushing back against those things that are trying to crush you. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. But a weak or broken spirit, who can raise that up or bear it? See, this is why God wants us to be filled and filled. Oh, and then life challenges us. Get filled again. And then life puts a withdrawal on your spirit. Get filled again. And get filled. But Pastor, I'm so lonely. The answer is get filled. But Pastor, I'm so broke right now. Get filled. Pastor, I'm in such pain right now. Get filled. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's another verse. Can you bring up Proverbs 4:23? These were not in my, in my notes. Pastor, our marriage is struggling right now. Get filled. Pastor, my family is struggling right now. My child is struggling. Get filled. Amen. Get filled. Parents, the best thing you can do for your kids, the only strength you can lend to them is that which is in your spirit. That which God has put on the inside of you. Yeah. Look what it says in the Amplified. It says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. See, why would you guard something? Because something is coming to steal it. You guard something because somebody is coming or something's coming to try to take that valuable thing away from you. Everything in this life is trying to tax your spirit or your heart. It's a synonymous term. Guard your spirit. Guard your spirit from being offended. Guard your spirit from being greedy. Guard your spirit from sexual sin. Guard your spirit against alcohol and drunkenness. Guard your spirit from profanity. Guard your spirit from wrongdoing. Guard your spirit from lying. Guard your spirit from adultery. Guard your spirit from lust. Amen. Because out of it, out of your spirit, your heart, out of your heart, flows what? All the springs of life. Or, bring it up in the King James, it says, out of your spirit flow all the issues of life. Wait, I thought all the issues of life would just come from the throne of God. I thought I would just, you know, it would just come from God's throne. It is God's presence in your spirit that he's going to make, you know, this world is going to withdraw on. You know, but if you're weak in spirit, if you're not filled with God's word, if you're not in fellowship with God, if you're not taking time to pray and to seek him and to worship him, you're going to be empty and there's going to be nothing to withdraw on. See, a lot of Christians, they're living a spiritually overdrawn life. How many of you at some point in your life ever faced overdrawn fees? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, you didn't think it was possible to have less than no money. There was a time in my life I had less than zero. You know, and it was even, it is so funny. They kept charging me fees for not having any money. How many of you remember? How many of you have been through that? Maybe you're going through that right now. What's the answer? Get full of God. Amen. You know, just you know, put that in God's hands. Obviously, you're going to have to walk that out in the natural. You're going to have to be responsible. Folks, you don't know that anything that we're preaching doesn't take away from the fact that you got to have some good old common sense in this life. You know, if you need a job, go get a job. You know, if you need to pay the bills, don't be late on it. You know what I mean? Just, you know, fix your car, get to work, have a normal life. You understand, this doesn't take away from the practical side of life. But a lot of Christians are living spiritually overdrawn. They have less than nothing in the tank. All right? Down south where we go on vacation on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, a lot of the houses there, they have cisterns. You know what a cistern is? Now, I didn't say the cistern. I didn't say the sisters. The cistern with a C is something that collects water, natural rainwater that hits the roof of the house, and they will take and store that water for future use. See, your spirit is like a cistern. You fellowship with God, and it's not because maybe you're going through the toughest thing at the moment, but as you fellowship with God, your cistern gets full because a dry season just might be around the corner. And when that dry season shows up, what's in your cistern or what's not in the tank is going to be discovered. Are you here? A lot of times marriages are absolutely getting pummeled because a dry season showed up and there was nothing in the tank. All of a sudden, a super tough season came along, and there was nothing to draw from because the Bible says, out of your spirit are all the issues of life. There's another verse. How about, can you bring up Matthew chapter 12? Boy, I'm not even getting to my message. I'm not even getting to what I was supposed to be preaching. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 12, start in verse 34-ish. It's in that neighborhood. We saw it. I brought this up last night too. I'm not sure exactly where I started. Oh, yes. This is the verse where we want to start. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Do you think the Pharisees had a full spirit? I mean, no. Do you think that their tank was running quite low? Yeah, they resisted everything that was really of God, and they were supposed to be the ones promoting everything that was God. O generation of vipers, Jesus speaking to them. Here they are, the religious establishment. And Jesus says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? He says, it's impossible for you to say the right thing because there's nothing in your tank. Right. Watch what he says. For out of the abundance of the heart, or your spirit, the mouth will speak. If you're complaining all the time, is there anyone that you ever catch yourself complaining? Okay, there's five honest people in this church today. Have any of you ever had, self-admittedly, a complaining problem at one time or another? Come on, that's right. We all have, right? Well, that's because sometimes we allow ourselves to run low, spiritually speaking. We're running low in the tank. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. I just had this, I don't want to call it a vision, but I just had a picture. How many of you know God will speak to you in ways that you just understand? Many of you know this. One of the things, I don't really get to do much of this anymore, but one of the things I used to enjoy, to be honest, I don't really enjoy it anymore. But one of the things that I used to do in my spare time was work on old cars. You know, I like old cars. Oh, I still like to drive an old car, but I just don't like to work on them anymore, you know? Praise the Lord. But anyway, you know, and I just saw this picture of a fuel tank, and I've had this happen to me. And you know, especially in an older car, when you let the fuel go really, really, really low, you know, and we've got our mechanics here that can verify this, especially in an older car, what is at the bottom of that gas tank that's sitting in there after years and years of use? What is in the bottom of those gas tanks? A lot of rust, junk, particles. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You ever, heard of this? I just saw a picture of a gas tank of all what happens when you allow your gasoline level, you know, when your little odometer there on your car, when it says 2 miles to empty. Is there anyone else that you've ever let your car go down? If my truck says 2 miles to empty, you know what? In my mind, I say, I've got 5 miles. I just figure that those manufacturers, they built in a little extra for people like me. But the problem is, on an old car, if you let that gas get too low, your intake, or what will happen, your fuel pump or whatever it is, you know, whether it's a mechanical or a electrical fuel pump, it'll start what? It'll start sucking up all the crud and all the junk at the bottom of the tank. And now that crud gets into your whole fuel system, ruins your fuel injection, car doesn't run right, car might not run at all because you started sucking up all the junk at the bottom of the tank. That's what's happening when Christians start just talking negative all the time. When Christians are complaining all the time, it's because their tank is so low spiritually, they're just sucking up all the trash at the bottom of the tank. That's what the Spirit of God just showed me. Literally, I saw like a flash, and it was all of maybe not even a full second. I saw a fuel tank with no fuel on it, but it was still sucking up all the debris at the bottom of the fuel tank. There's old cars that I've had and I've worked on. I bought a 78 Mercury up in Niagara Falls. It had been sitting in the garage untouched since 2006. And I pulled that out, and my brother was helping me. And guess what the first thing I said? He's like, well, what do we need to do with this thing? I said, the first thing we need to do is take the gas tank off of it. And, you know, first of all, the car wasn't even running. I never got to hear it run until I fixed it. And what I did is, we were thinking about, well, let's just put gas in the tank and see if it runs. And I said to my brother, I said, no, we are not putting gas in the gas tank because you do not want to draw off that old gas that's been sitting in there for who knows how many years. Another car I found one time had been sitting since 1977, and the original gas was still in it from 39 years ago. And the first thing I do with an old car like that is I take off the fuel line that's going to the gas tank and I put it in a gas can that's clean and fresh so it's drawing up good gas so it doesn't ruin the rest of the car. All right. And, you know, so many times, I'm here to tell you, you need a gasoline, you know, you need to start drawing off a fresh tank. Because if you're drawing off your spirit that is so empty and low and there's no fellowship with God. Are you getting a hold of this? See, if you're going through a crisis right now, what's the answer? Get filled. See, they said, Lord, we want healings to show up in the Spirit of God. Fill them. They said, we want to speak the word of God with boldness. So he filled them. Where's the provision that you need? In the filling. Where's the healing that you need? In the filling. This is the Spirit of God letting us know when we let things go too low. You know, I wrote about this, and, you know, I used this illustration, you know, a long time ago, but it's so true. There's the river out there. I forget the name of it. The river in California that they use to, you know, water that huge valley, the San Joaquin Valley out there in California. Do you know that all the produce and everything that grows out there in California? If you've had any walnuts, if you've had avocado, if you've had oranges or grapefruit, there's a good chance it came from California. Right? California produces more produce than any other part in the whole wide world. And if you've never driven through that valley out there, and it's so weird because everything around it is just a desert. But you get into that valley and it's all lush and green and everything is growing. You know, there's pistachios that grow out there. Oh, everything grows out there. And the story is they're constantly in a battle out there because they're diverting water from that river to make sure that they can grow all that stuff. But when that water level goes too low in the river, what starts to happen is that river starts to heat up and all the fish die. The water becomes polluted with bacteria because the water level goes too low. And it starts to run a fever and everything dies off and everything. That's exactly what can happen to us spiritually. We allow our water levels to get too low. And all of a sudden we get a spiritual fever and things start going wrong. Are you here today? Praise the Lord. Jesus said it's impossible for these Pharisees to speak right because there's nothing in the tank. He says there's only evil in here. He says, therefore, you can't speak anything because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Look at verse 35. Boy, I'm not anywhere near my message. I don't want my message. I want the Holy Ghost message. Jesus said this. He said, a good man. Do we have any good people in this house today? Yes, we do. A good person. He's not just talking about men. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart. Or literally the treasure of your spirit. See, we should have treasure in here. There should be treasure in here. Where does that treasure come from? Fellowship with God. Where does that treasure come from? Knowing his word. Where does that treasure, you know, come from? Obeying the word, serving, giving, forgiving. Amen. Out of the treasure of the heart, I hope you got some treasure in there. Because you got to have some treasure in there. Out of a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart or spirit, the man will bring forth good things. Yes. Isn't that interesting? Notice it didn't just say those good things just fall from the throne of God and land in front of you. Notice that you must have good treasure in your spirit first in order for good things to materialize around your life. When I say good things, I'm talking about God's plan. I'm not just saying, you know, this is some way how you can try to use a cheat code to get all the greedy things you want. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about? The good treasure of your heart is what God draws on to bring his plan to pass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It really will change our lives when we know and we understand that. This is why it matters. Are you ready? No, we are not facing the same threats as the early church. Go back over there now to Acts 4:30. Actually, go to verse 31. Acts 4:31. You know, they were facing great threat. They were facing jail. They were facing the sword. They were facing the loss of their freedom and their livelihoods. Many of us are not running from that same situation. See, now I understand that that is taking place in different parts of the world, that that still may be true. But overall, in most civilized nations today, that is not the case anymore. Satan is not trying to just imprison everybody or kill them with the sword. Why? Because 2,000 years ago, you remember what happened when he tried to jail and kill those Christians. The church did not die. The church thrived. The church will thrive in the days of persecution. Remember? They spread out. They just got more on fire, more determined. And Satan learned over the course of 2,000 years that he had to pull back that hardcore persecution, and he had to get more subtle in his attack. Satan is not trying as much, this is still happening in some places of the world, and of course that's awful. Satan isn't as much trying to take Christians' heads off anymore, but instead he's trying to kill their faith by the death of 1,000 paper cuts. Just trying to go and pick away little pieces of your faith, make you distracted, make you greedy, try to make everything about money. Try to get you to put over focus in your hobbies or your kids or your activities or your business. He's just trying to, you know, wear you down, get you offended. He's trying to bring up troubles and trials that will just wear us out. I'm here to tell you there is one way and one way only that you are going to survive Satan's attempt to just wear you out in this life. You're going to have to get filled. You're going to have to get filled. When they said, Lord, behold their threatenings. Look at what's going on. The Holy Ghost said, okay, I'll fill you. He didn't say, I'll remove you from the problem. He didn't say, I'll remove the problem from you. He said, I will fill you, and that filling will resist everything that you're facing. That filling will resist everything you're facing. Are you here today? I had a nice gentleman approach me last night in Erie. We had service, and there was more people there than we thought, being the 4th of July and everything. And this gentleman came up to me, and real nice guy, just been attending the church out there for a few weeks. And he came up to me, and he said, Pastor, how come you always ask us if we're here? He says, how come you ask, are we here? And I said, oh, it's just, you know, a way to keep people engaged. Yeah. Folks, I know that you're here. You know, unless you're wearing camouflage today, you know, I know that you are here. But how many of you know you can be here without being here? Right? That can happen. And so, praise the Lord. You know, that's just my way of you know, shocking you back into listening or whatever, just to kind of give you a little pep talk. Remember, I'm a school teacher, you know, and these were just little tricks of the trade that I employ. Say, Pastor, when I come to your church, it's like being in a fourth grade class. Don't you? You know what I almost said? I almost said, don't let me catch anybody passing notes. Remember when kids actually pass notes? They don't do that anymore. They're doing this, passing notes. Holy mackerel, when did I get so old? I tell you what, I wish we could go back to the days of writing letters. Pen pals. Did anyone ever have a pen pal? Yes, the good old days. You know what? This is an opportunity. I just feel reminded, and bear with me. There is a really nice woman that watches our services down in Sebring, Florida. And her name is Cheryl Gardner. I just want to mention her. I don't know, I just feel led to do this. What camera are we on? Cheryl, I know you're watching. You've been so faithful. She's been sending in checks to support the youth camp. She watches all the way from Florida. We get a lot of mail. Florida, for some reason, is sending us mail. Praise the Lord. And it's wonderful to see. Folks, you just never know. And Cheryl, you know, she has said, and she writes letters, and that's the reason why that reminded me. You know, I have a letter on my desk right now. Cheryl, I want to let you know that I'm reading your letters. It's encouraging to me, and now we're encouraging the entire congregation, and we see that support that you're sending in for the youth camp. That's awesome. You know, and she always says in her letter, she's like, I wish I was there to attend. I consider myself part of the church family. Amen. So Cheryl, praise the Lord. We just think of you. And what made me think of her is she writes letters. And I get them in the mail and I open it up and I tell you what, you know, I'd love to go back to more of that. Writing letters the old-fashioned way. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when they were facing the biggest threat, what did God say? Get filled. He said, be filled. That's where your answers are. That's where our needs are. Amen. The church is not facing the sword anymore, but we are facing the death by 1,000 paper cuts. Everything trying to pick us apart. All these troubles, all these distractions, all the offense, all the dividing from people and blaming everybody. Oh my goodness. Folks, be careful. It's just a nonstop, you know, parade out there, especially in social media. So many ministries now, they don't even just preach the word. It's about exposing the wrong of everybody else. Be careful. And of course, there are things that we have to address. And yes, if there's a ministry that you hear and you just feel like, man, that just don't seem right, and you don't feel clear in your conscience to follow it, well, there's your answer. You don't need to go look up all these podcasts, all these YouTubers that are just trying to expose everybody. That ain't the spirit of God. Well, that went over well. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's wrap this up here. We'll just give you a little taste of where we were supposed to go. When I say supposed to, I don't mean we're always supposed to go the way of the Holy Ghost. But what I meant by that is the way I thought we would go. Amen. There's a big difference. I pray every single day of my life, Lord, I pray that I speak as the oracles of God. I pray that I minister by the ability that you've placed in me, that the Lord would get all the praise and the glory. I don't want my message, and trust me, you don't want my message. You want the Spirit of God to speak. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this is why it matters. The church is not facing the sword. The church today is facing a subtle enemy, a subtle attack to disrupt marriages, to disrupt finances, to bring people into a troubled heart, to stir up problems all over the place, to draw you away with distractions. Yes. When Satan, when he learned that he could not defeat the church, he joined it. When he knew that he couldn't defeat us from the outside, he came from the inside in and starts working on our love for God, tries to attack our faithfulness. Are you here? Don't get distracted. Remember the five things that Jesus said in the end days, right? He said, number one, don't be deceived. You're deceived if you think something else is worth more of your attention than the things of God. That's what deception is when you place a value on something that has less value. That's what deception is. See, when people value their jobs or, you know, their businesses, or they just value their hobbies more than they value God, that's deception. He said, number one, don't be deceived. Two, he said, don't be troubled. He didn't say you could prevent all troubles. He said, don't be troubled in your heart. Don't allow all the stuff going on around you to trouble you. He said, you're going to see a lot of bad things in this world. You know, this past week, I was in Toronto. We went up there overnight, and praise the Lord, we were there for Canada Day. Hey, we've got our favorite Canadian right here on the front row, Joe Canada, Mr. Canada himself. And we were in Toronto, and it was Canada Day, which is like their Independence Day. And they did this you know, big celebration at the stadium and all this. And we got back, we just walked over to the stadium and went back to our hotel. And we were getting ready to go out to dinner. And all of a sudden, we looked directly at, we're on the 10th floor of this tall hotel, looking down on the street. And right there, literally, not a mile this way, not even 100 feet this way, right at the bottom of our hotel, right below our windows, there was a homeless woman who was just attacked, apparently, and killed right there on the sidewalk. And we stood down there and we looked and we saw all of a sudden the emergency blood, you know, is everywhere and all this stuff. And my wife and I were like, well, let's pray. We didn't realize at that time that she was already dead. We didn't realize. And they started to try to work on her, but you could see they just gave up. And we don't know exactly the details. It appears that it was like a homeless issue where it was like a turf war, where another homeless person may have attacked that, you know, over drugs, or we just don't know. It was a very sad situation. But folks, you're gonna see a lot of dark things in this world. Dark things are gonna try to fill you through the news. Dark things are gonna be evident all over. Dark things politically, dark things economically, dark things are gonna try to show up in your mind, gonna show up in your life. You cannot be troubled by all the things that you see. Amen. We're going to have to wrap this up. And I'm just not. Folks, we got the message that the Holy Ghost wanted today. And that's why you got to come back next week. And, you know, if the Lord is willing, we'll get to where we were going to go. But, you know, there's so many things that can trouble you. You can't be troubled. Finances are going to try to trouble you. Family members might turn on you. You know, people, you know, friends might not decide to be your friends anymore. You know, loneliness, depression, all these things are going to knock on your door. And Jesus said, number one, don't be deceived. Two, don't let these things trouble you, right? He said, three, don't get offended. Beware, because the last days are going to be defined by people who will not control their offense. You're going to be offended at your spouse. You're going to be offended at your pastor. You're going to be offended at your boss at work. You're going to be offended by friends or other Christians. There's just so many opportunities to get offended. Just decide right now, you're not having any part of it. Offense shows up on my doorstep every single day trying to get me offended at something. Nope, not playing. Well, so-and-so did this. No, I'm not playing that game. Not playing that game. He said, number one, don't be deceived. Two, don't be troubled. Three, don't be offended. He said, four, don't turn on one another. Don't turn against people. Amen. He said, don't turn on one another, meaning Christians turning on one another. Oh, my goodness. That's just so rampant in these days. And he said, five, don't let your love for the things of God grow cold. Don't allow your spiritual tank to run dry. That's what he's talking about. You know, when he's talking about the love of God, a lot of times we interpret that to mean we got to be nice to everybody, which we got to be nice to everybody. Be nice to everybody. The love of God should be very evident in your patience, your kindness, right? But a lot of times, that scripture, when Jesus said, don't let the love of God grow cold, literally we translate it this way, don't let the love for God grow cold. Don't allow your tank to run so dry that you start running on all the negativity, on all the trash. Don't be that picture of an empty gas tank just drawing up all the trash off the bottom. Folks, did you get some help here today? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That is the word of God. I'm sticking with it. Folks, what we're going to do is we're going to bow our heads and pray in just a moment. And then after, we'll just receive our offering and we'll be dismissed. Let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and let's pray. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. Father, you are so good. You are so merciful. Father, we didn't hear the message that we thought we would hear. But Father God, I trust that we got the message that the Holy Ghost had for us today. And Lord, I believe at least in part. Of course, Father, you get all the glory for that. But at least I believe in part the reason why the Holy Spirit can speak in our midst is that there's people sitting in these seats that hunger and desire for your word. They don't want a book report. They don't want information in a sermon. They want revelation from God. Father, when the early church prayed for healing, you filled them. When they were facing the greatest threat of their lives, you filled them. Father, we know that the answers we need are in the filling. And Lord, we know that if we allow our spiritual tank to run dry, we'll start just taking in all the negativity. We'll live a life of complaining, living a life of insulting others or exposing the problems of others. Lord Jesus, you said, don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. Don't be offended. Don't betray one another. And don't let the love for God grow cold. Because those are the things that will try to happen to each and every one of us in the last days. We're not going to go that way. Father, we just praise you. We worship you. We glorify you, Lord God. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Ask yourself this question right now. Am I saved? If I were to die today, would I be in heaven or would I be in hell? I'm going to tell you the truth. Hell is real. But I'm going to tell you the truth again. Heaven is real. God does not want any to perish, but that all would come to repentance. But notice that we have to repent. Repentance does not mean that we say sorry to God. Repentance is not an apology. Repentance is when we turn from evil ways and we turn to Christ, we confess him as our Lord and Savior, and we turn to the life that he has for us. If you're here today and you've never done that, you've never made that decision, I'm not gonna make you stand up. I'm not gonna call you down front. I'm not gonna walk up to you or anything like this. This is between you and the Lord, but he loves you. Search your heart right now. Ask the Lord, am I right with you? Do I need to be saved? And if you don't know, then please do not leave this church today until you know for sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And all I'm going to do is ask you to lift your hand for literally 1 or 2 seconds. Just show God, hey, Lord, that's me. When I see your hand, you'll just hear me say, I'll just simply say this. I see that hand. You can put it down. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed, and then I'll lead us all in that prayer. And right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here that say, Pastor, I need that. I see your hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that would just take that step and say, Lord, I want to follow your plan for my life? Is there anybody else before we pray? Could you just lift your hand? It's not that I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. It's not the lifting of the hand. It's the sincerity of your heart. Just be sincere with God. He knows it all anyway. Anybody else before we pray? You never made Jesus your Lord? Well, we had a couple of hands. And so I'm going to lead us all in this prayer. Every single one of us will be praying. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Believe what you say. Pray and mean it. Be sincere with God. He will hear you. He will forgive you of your sins and grant you that eternal life. Let's all pray this together. Everyone pray with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get something out of this here today, everybody? Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? It's time to receive tithes and offerings here today. It's not the oh no part of service. And please know, just because we're taking the offering up at the end of service, it's not to pay for anything that you just heard. You know, people who get saved don't have to pay for their salvation. We're just doing this to try to, you know, experiment a little with our order of service. And maybe sometimes it'll just shave off some unnecessary time, right? Amen. And I think we've done that here today. Ushers, if you'd come forward, please. Folks, we do have offering envelopes in the seat there if you care to use them. I don't need to share an offering sermon because you've already heard the Word of God here today, right? Amen. The Bible says that we give to honor God. It says in Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. He said, then he will take care of your barns. He will have make sure that you have more than enough in your life. He said he would fill your barns with plenty. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray as we receive the offering. Father God, we just praise you. We thank you for the Word of God. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to bring our tithe, to bring our offerings, to honor and to obey you. Lord, thank you that you're our provider in all good things. We have nothing good without you. You are the God that feeds us every single day of our lives. And Father, we just say it together. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Folks, we're going to do something just a little bit different. Hey, as soon as that offering has gone by you, could you just stand to your feet? If it hasn't gotten to you yet, remain seated. That way, when we see the whole congregation standing to their feet, we'll know that the offering is done, and then we'll get ready to dismiss together. Praise the Lord. Did you get something out of this here today? Amen. Praise God. You know, it's good to be a giver. It's good to obey the Lord. It's good to have a church family. Folks, if you are not serving in the local church, get hooked up. Get, you know, moving in the direction that God has for you. It'll change your life for the better. Well, everybody is just about standing. So church, join me by giving God some praise and we'll be dismissed. Father, we praise you today. We thank you, Lord. Come on, church, let's lift our voices. Father, we glorify you. And Father, we say it together, all in unity. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shout in, amen. You are dismissed.